Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
Listen to the words of the song that we're about to sing. Truly wonderful words of a wonderful person. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with me to the end.
Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me, He, my Savior, makes me whole.
Hallelujah.
once again reading God's holy word, God's letter through Paul, both to the Colossians and to us. Also, others, as we'll see later in this chapter, that it was to be read to the Laodiceans, and what Paul wrote to them was also to be read by them. So it's for all of us. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I might make it manifest as I ought to speak. This was his prayer, that they would pray in that way, for himself and for others. And now he is exhorting them, the fifth verse, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, and a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your heart, with Onias, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, who shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Let's pray that we'll understand these words and do what Paul exhorted us to do, especially continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. We need to do that for those who are in the ministry, as Paul said, praying also for us. But when we think of that second verse, I think especially of what Paul exhorted Timothy to do. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Pray for those like Paul that are preaching today. Pray for more laborers, and pray for kings and those that are in authority. Pray especially for our president, who has done some good things, appointed some good people, and is very much, sadly, hated and vilified and lied about. We need to pray that God will protect him from those evil ways that would not just destroy our president, but would destroy the good things of our nation of the past, our ways in the church of the past, our ways in the home of the past, in our ways in the schools of the past, far different than today. And then we wonder why the young people are killing each other and blame guns. Blame ourselves in the church, in the home, and those in the nation that are causing division rather than unity and love. Let's pray that God will make us do what we should do, hearing his word and doing what we have read a number of weeks and spoke on, continue in prayer. Only God can help. And we are in such a place where we hardly know the truth to exhort one another. And we're in such a place that we don't want to listen to each other. It's a terrible time, dangerous time, and we better realize it. One hope, continue in prayer, and then with thanksgiving, that it isn't worse than it is, and that there's still hope in God. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in his name for all that has been given. We give thanks for giving to our forefathers some 400 years ago what they had in England, what they had in the Netherlands when they fled from England to the Netherlands, and then back again to the shores of England to come here and settle as our Plymouth forefathers did. We give thanks for what they had, what they were given, even though numbers of them died that first winter and were in terrible hardship. But thou dost give them blessing through it and blessing to the end. And then even then, they were sad because their children did not have that same faith as they did. And as they could state, they were law-abiding citizens, but did not have that true knowledge of sin and the true knowledge of Christ as they had come to experience. And we pray, Father, that as it has been given again in the Great Awakening, for the time of the preaching of Edwards and Whitefield and Tennant and Frelinghuysen and others, that we might have such a time again, that thou would lead ministers today to preach thy word, that there will be evangelists who bring the message to begin churches in every place as it had to take place at that time, both in our settlements and as well even in our older settlements where the churches had, as it were, died and had to be revived. We pray, Father, for such a reviving as we sang last week, revive us again. And here today, Lord Jesus, the great Savior, we pray that thou would do what the song stated and be to us, what a friend, saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with us to the end. We pray that thou would not forsake us, Lord Jesus. Pray that thou would not leave us to ourself. We pray that thou would not leave us with the door closed between us and thee. Thou would so rebuke and chasten us that we will hear thee and hear thy voice. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. Give us that blessing, we pray, in effectual working with thy Spirit as well as thy word. We pray that the Spirit might be given once again in a mighty way to convict, to teach, to revive, and especially to take the things of thine, Lord Jesus, and show them to us, showing us that we are, first of all, without them, that we do not believe on thee, and then giving them to us in revelation and mighty power. We pray, Father, also for the temporal blessings needed. We pray for the homes that are troubled, broken, the children in those homes. We pray for those in sickness and injury. We pray, Father, for those suffering in famine and hardship, dying in starvation, the war-torn lands, the awfulness of it. We pray for the ones that have suffered from fire, wind, flood, all these calamities that have taken place. Help us also to see these things as judgments, and that we might learn through them and cry out to thee and learn the brevity of life and the shortness of it, that we might be prepared for the hour of death. We ask, Father, for thy blessing in all things through Christ, in whose name we do give thanks. Amen. Yes, we can give thanks that we can pray through the name of Christ. And as we move on in this fourth chapter of Colossians, we should not forget what Paul wrote here earlier, continue in prayer. We should both continue in prayer, and where we are not continuing, we may have to increase in prayer. I was reading when Abraham Lincoln was president, how he called the nation to repentance, and he set a day aside and even told them and said that they should not even go to work, but go to their house of worship and pray, set aside a day for that. If our president would do that today, what a criticism he would get. He's breaking the Constitution. But Lincoln wasn't accused of that. People at that time were disobedient, and there was a terribleness of civil war, but they did have much more fear of God than we do today, and much more ready to listen. There was times of revival, both in the North and the South, when the nation was divided. And then again, later, at other times, and especially the time before that, the Great Awakening in the 1700s, how we need to pray for that again, that God wants given over to a reprobate mind, which seems to be happening. And people are so blind, calling evil good and good evil, that we do not want to return to the good days that God has given us in the past. The proof is there. Broken homes, murder in the schools, division in government. And then we think it's better. We want to vote for those who want to go more and more that way. How foolish we are. We need not only to pray, but also, as I mentioned, Paul says, the fourth verse, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And that is what he wants us to pray for those of today, as well as he wanted them, for Paul of that time and others that he mentions later, that are one with him, Tychius, Onias, and others that are part of his fellow laborers, and blessing for them as well as for him. Then he begins in verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. What does that mean? That means the church should walk in wisdom to the rest of society, in every nation, to the rest of the nation. The Lord Jesus made it very plain in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. What a plain statement to those who are believers. After he had given what we call the Beatitudes, blessed are those that are poor in spirit, that mourn, they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, the merciful, the peacemakers, they were blessed also, those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, giving a promise to each what they need. And then coming further into that sermon, you are the salt of the earth, and then the sad statement, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. It's as if salt has turned to sand, only to be walked over, not to be used. We all use salt in our food, except for a few that cannot have it because of their diet needs. But we think salt gives the flavor to the food. It's also a preserver, and he likens believers to that. You are the salt of the earth. But today, I'm very much afraid. We are a salt in this nation that have lost its savor. Could the church call the rest of the nation to prayer like Abraham Lincoln did? Would there be a heeding it? We say, set aside a day. Don't go to work. Go to the house of God and pray all through the day. I'm afraid it would not be observed, might even be ridiculed and spoken against, and say, we want separation from church and state. We want separation from religious ways. Too many are saying that, and we are getting it. We are separate from God. We are being given over to a reprobate mind. When Paul says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, he's speaking to a church that has wisdom. He's speaking to a church that Christ has made unto them wisdom as well as righteousness and sanctification and redemption. This church at Colossae had that. They had come from darkness to light. They had come from enmity to love, from unbelief to faith. We can read that plainly in the first chapter especially. Paul repeats it more than once of what they were and what they were brought to. And only then can he say further to them, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. I'm afraid we have to do like the church at Corinth did before we can be used today. Repent. And five of the churches that Christ wrote to in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, Christ leading John to write to the seven churches which were in Asia and describing each one of them, and five of them had to be called to repentance. They weren't in the way of wisdom themselves. They couldn't walk in wisdom until they repented, until they had a right relationship toward God, and then a right relationship toward man. It was foolishness. It was pride. It was having a name they lived and were dead. All of that is there as Christ described it, Christ being the true witness to them. What would he say of us? Who would he identify us with today? Certainly, we would be more identified with the Corinthians, being carnal, being fleshly, having divisions, than we would with this church at Colossae, I fear. But what is left? He said to one church, you have a name that you live and are dead, but strengthen the things that remain. There was a few names that had not defiled their garments. And if there is such today, then God's word to you is, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, meaning outside the church, but also we can be in the church and be without God. The church at Ephesus was described in its earlier state as without hope and without God. Those that are without, we need to walk in wisdom in the church. Today, we need God's word. I need wisdom, first of all, myself, to think rightly. What is the world really like? What is our nation like? How is it to be compared with the scripture? Where are we? I'm afraid we are much like the world was, the nation was, the church was in the time of Edwards. He saw terrible error. He saw the error of Arminianism creeping in, and they were so alarmed about it, they thought the Spirit had been taken away. They even feared that they couldn't be saved any longer. So serious they saw that error, and Edwards preached against it. He preached the way of faith. The type of Arminianism that they had then was probably different than what we think of it today. At that time, it was with a strong emphasis on works for salvation. And if they lived good and accepted the doctrine of the church, they thought they were Christians. It was closer to formalism. Today, when we think of Arminianism, we also think of what we call free will and free willism and easy believism, and we are more in that today than they probably were then. But it is still the way of man. The way man does it to be right with God instead of the grace of God, which alone brings us back to God. Christ said, without me you can do nothing. That includes thinking, praying, confessing, believing, everything. He must be our prophet, our priest, our king. We need him in all things. We need him as the good shepherd who gives his life, but we also need him as the good shepherd who says, my sheep hear my voice. The voice of Christ is coming here through Paul. Christ said, he is my witness. And Paul could say, I've not been disobedient to that heavenly vision. And now he's telling the church at Corinth and whatever is left of the true church today, for us, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. That's a high calling. It's a fearsome calling. We can't be foolish and be listening to Paul. We have to be careful. What do people see in us? Wisdom or foolishness? We could ask another question. Humbleness or pride? Pride isn't wisdom. Pride is foolish. Very foolish. We have nothing to be proud of, particularly today. We have some things left that we can be thankful for. That what God has given us and what we still have left of it. Well, what we still have left of the faith of our fathers. As one man said some time ago, a man that was in government and saw the evils that were there, and he said to the audience, you think that your church has the answer, but he says, you've divided and divided and divided and divided. That's exactly opposite of what Christ prayed for, both in what should be done and the reason for it. When he prayed four different times for those who would believe on him through the word of the apostles. Four times he said that they might be one. John chapter 17, read it. Verses 20, 21, 22. Four times he made that prayer for those in our time. And then he gave twice the reason why. That the world will know that the Father has sent him. It was a prayer to the Father, and he was praying that the Father would make us one, that the Father would then be able, through the church, to make Christ known to the world, the rest of the world, outside the church. Here, Paul says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Wisdom would be, how can we be one? And we shouldn't stop till then. And if we don't want to be one, we are foolish. We're contrary to God's word. We're contrary to the prayer of Christ. And as I've said some places, we can easily be one if we say together how wrong we are with our broken homes, are teaching evolution instead of our Creator and how He told us this world came into existence. In the beginning, God did this. And every day following, He did that till the world was in existence, and it was good the way He did it. Later, Paul writes about Christ, saying that God has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, by whom He made the worlds. And he also tells us at that time that He upholds the same by the word of His power. How is this earth held in the midst of all of that which encircles it? How is this earth held in the midst of all the seas and lakes on the different sides of it, all around it? And then the different sides that see the sun, the moon, the stars, the clouds, the rain comes on all of it. And God has been faithful in doing what He said, that all the seasons would be there, summer and winter, springtime and harvest. Day and night shall not cease, along with it cold and heat. That's in God's hand, not yours, not mine. We talk about climate change. The worst climate change that's going to come is going from earth to hell. That's going to be a climate change, and one that cannot be reversed. And one, if we sadly ever come there, any of us, the awfulness, the regret that we weren't wise, that we weren't willing to join with those who had repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved, living under His word that says, "He that believeth not shall be damned." I talk to people who will not believe the Bible, and they'll talk about things that happened a million years ago. Believe that. How foolish. There's no proof whatsoever that we know anything about a million years ago. That was before the foundation of the world. We know something that God did and God's plan, but nothing man wasn't there. God, through Christ, said, "Let us make man." That's the fact. And we have the genealogy from Adam to Christ. And we know that now we are living in the year 2018, the year of our Lord. That's it. And I've learned these last few weeks and months, especially the brevity of life, since my wife passed away, my good wife, for so many years. But so short, so short, so short. We need to redeem the time. We need to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. You can do it now if you can hear, but if you're gone, it'll be too late to redeem the time through Christ.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.